Okay, this is the continuity of scripture class. We are on the same handout as we were on last week, and maybe the week before, although I don't think so. Maybe, though. You think so? And I don't think we're going to get through it today. So we're on week four. It's the 29th of September. Tonight is Erev Rosh Hashanah. This is Messiah in the Old Testament. And as I said, same handout. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Who knows the year of the Jewish year that they are celebrating?
5780
is going to be the year. That's right, 5780. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting because when I was speaking with I don't want to mention names on the recorder. Somebody who told me about, you know, how her husband was doing. She said, I've been wanting to talk to you about two Jewish people that God has brought into my life. And one is across the street. How can I share with them? I said, tonight is a wonderful time because it's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. I said, you can give your Jewish friends a card for Rosh Hashanah. And thank you, Margaret. And you can bring them a plate of apples and honey. So I'm sharing this with you if you have Jewish friends and don't know what to do. Sliced apples. And you can buy those honey straws that you can get at World Market. I know they probably have honey in the house. But just to put it together like that would be lovely. And for you to know that the year is 5,780 will amaze your Jewish friends. Okay? So I think that would be a great idea. Where I want to go on this handout in my scribbling all over the pages and adding things and subtracting things, I do want to mention, I think we're on page two. You think we're on three? Where I'm going to hop, skip, and jump. Do you see where it says, what was it like to journey for 40 years? That's where we want to be. Okay? Okay. I received an email from one of the ladies in the Tuesday morning class who was really being a Berean. And it was great. And she said, now I know that you mentioned that we don't know when the tabernacle was done away with. And I thought, I didn't say that. So I had to go over, you know, my notes. And she was quoting some verses because she dug into scripture. And she was looking, thinking that, you know, I didn't know. And that was great. And I said, you know, kudos to you. But I have been asking so many questions during these lessons. So they might sound like, we have no clue. We have no clue that God was in the tabernacle at the foot, at the base, or at the east side of the Jordan River. We have no clue about when he was, if he was still in the tabernacle. We have all that information. It's in the Bible. So if you ever think that I'm saying we don't know, and I might still say we don't know about some things, but you know, say, hey, wait a minute. I know this passage that et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just trying to lay the foundation that many believers, including me before I checked this out, I had no clue. I would say, well, you know, God filled the tabernacle, the glory of God filled the tabernacle, but I didn't know much else about it than that. So it's good to dig in because you know what this proves? God is faithful. God is faithful because he said, I want to dwell with the people. I will not forsake them. And we're even going to talk about that a little bit maybe today because God doesn't forsake. But we were talking about what was it like to journey for 40 years. So I am on page two. What was it like to schlep the portable tabernacle from location to location? And they did do that. We read it in Numbers 33. We read the root of the wilderness wanderings in Numbers 33, 1, verse 1 through 49. And last week I was asking, oh, and we do know it goes into the tabernacle, God goes into the promised land with the people. You know, the Bible doesn't say promised land. So it says land of promise. Do you realize that? Because I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago, because I always say promised land, and I thought, I don't think that's a phrase in the Bible. but there's the land of promise, the land of milk and honey. But I had to look it up in Strong's Lexicon. Strong's Lexicon is a good resource for things like that. So we know that the tabernacle is set up in Shiloh from Joshua 18:1, and that's on your handout. That says, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And some people might think, well, that's picayune. We don't need to know these things. Yeah. It's part of the big picture. Again, it shows the character of God. And do you know, and this is not in your handout, in 1 Samuel 1:3, in the land of promise, sacrifices were still being offered in that tabernacle. Of course they were. Of course they were. And really, we see the end of the tabernacle. This is not in your handout. And we're going to turn to it in 2 Chronicles, first in chapter 1. 2 Chronicles 1. And there's a whole lesson on this. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 3. There's a whole lesson on this in our last semester's study, and you'd find it better in the Tuesday study, and that would be week 9 of the first semester of Messiah in the Old Testament. Do you get what I'm saying by that? Do you know what I'm saying? You go on the website. If you're so inclined, you can ask me later. Okay, for now, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 3. It says, then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting was with God was there. And then go to 2 Chronicles 5:1. 2 Chronicles 5:1. Actually, let's go to 5:2. Now Solomon, 2 Chronicles 5:2, assembled the elders of Israel. So we read that, and all the heads of the tribes, and drop down to verse 5. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle, and brought them into the temple. So that's where we see the end of the worship in the tabernacle. Just for those, you know, of you who might be interested. And we'll go on a little farther about God continuing to be with the people. But last week, we were talking about how there were idol worshipers. Remember, we got on a good discussion about that. Not that that was a good topic, but there were idol worshipers, the golden calf. People complained. They complained about the manna. They complained too much quail when they wanted quail, lack of water. But I had said, and this is where we ended, but with the giving of the law, and with the construction of the tabernacle, think of all the time and effort that went into the construction of that tabernacle. Just and truthfully, the reason I'm focusing on this is because I never put much thought about it till this summer. Well, last semester when we did the tabernacle series, God started changing my mind about things. And even the sacrifice of innocent animals, for them to do it day in and day out. I want to share something with you, but I just won't mention names. That was huge. And also, do you realize that God says in Leviticus 4 that those with unintentional sins, are to bring a sacrifice. Those who have sinned intentionally, they are to be excommunicated from the assembly, you know, of the people, or killed. So just think of that. What kind of people are we talking about? Here I'm jumping off comments like, oh, those Jews. Those Jews were complainers. They kvetched. They did this. They did that. They didn't worship God. And it's like God slapped me one. Not that I went to that extent in saying it, but I hear it. And why don't they believe, and et cetera, et cetera. And all this is hitting me this summer, and today. And this morning I thought, yeah, the unintentional sins. They went through that sacrificial system for 1,445 years and based on unintentional sins. Now, we know David